Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
This series is called Living in Babylon, Walking with God in a Godless Culture. Now, Pastor Ian, he's the pastor at our other campus, he started us off on the topic of God and culture. Then Pastor Mike, he spoke about values and how they shape culture and how they shape our lives. And that led perfectly into Pastor Jack's messages on self-image and identity. And then a couple weeks ago, he spoke on holiness and defilement. Now, our pastor, we call him Grubby, and he has these definitions for the words, and it's Grubby's handy-dandy definition for holiness is to be separated unto all that God is, and to be separated from all that God is not. That is holiness. So this week, we are continuing that theme of being separated unto all that God is, and separated from all that God is not, in this area of humanity's hunger for the supernatural. Now, when Pastor Ian and Pastor Jack sat down to plan out this whole series, they were putting in topics on certain days, but they didn't realize that today's date for this topic fell right before Halloween, which is very interesting, and I think God orchestrated this. Yeah. So as we make our way through our story today, in Daniel chapter 2, we're going to address three questions. First of all, how do we distinguish the occult, Satan's way, versus God's prophetic revelation, how he speaks? Secondly, how do we handle prophetic revelation in a godless culture? And then finally, what is the meaning of prophecy in a godless culture? In other words, why would God even bother to speak into a culture that does not acknowledge him? So before we go any further, I always take this time to pray. So God, I thank you for who you are. You are immovable, almighty, omniscient, Lord of all. And we ask for you to do great and mighty things that we don't even know to ask for. But we ask for you to come here in a way that breaks loose the chains of bondage and sets the captives free today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message is Dreaming in Babylon. And if you paid attention to the connecting music, really nice song by Billy Joel, it says, in the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep, through the jungle of doubt to a river so deep, I know I'm searching for something. And in Daniel chapter 2, there's a pagan king in Babylon, and he's searching for something too. He was very troubled. He's unable to sleep because of this dream that is keeping him awake. And it's not just any nightmare. He knew there was something about this dream, and he was probably certain that it had to do with his future. So when the king ain't sleeping, no one in the palace is going to sleep. And when this king ain't happy, watch out, because he has a temper, and he's prone to just go into a violent rage that can be deadly. This is the situation the wise men of Babylon were walking into in the middle of the night. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream, and it troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Now these guys, they knew the protocol. They knew how to do this. They've done this before. It's standard procedure. He tells them the dream. They give him the interpretation based on their understanding. Everyone's happy. Everyone goes to bed. Not this time. Verse 4. Then the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. So the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut to pieces. Nice, huh? And your houses turned into rubble, piles of rubble. And this king was not kidding. He would follow his word through. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So go ahead, tell me the dream and interpret it for me. The king is demanding these men to call upon whatever supernatural abilities that they tap into in order to tell him what he had dreamed as well as the meaning of it. And this seems to be his litmus test to determine whether or not they were telling the truth. This is how important he felt this dream was. And the meaning of this dream, I believe Pastor Jack is going to cover this next week. And that's a message you want to be here for, so don't miss that. But today we're going to focus on the main characters of our story. If you noticed, Daniel wasn't in that original group, and it's probably because he was a rookie on the team. These were the senior officials that got to come in before him. So he missed out on that conversation. But notice the list: magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. These were the go-to guys when a pagan king wanted an interpretation for a dream. And this leads us to our first question. So, how do we distinguish the occult from God's prophetic revelation? Between the false spirituality of the occult and the true spirituality of covenant. Many years ago, there's someone very close to me. Now, if I cry during this, bear with me, because this is raw and this is real. Okay, several years ago, someone very close to me was going through a very low point in their life. They were self-destructing. They were trying to commit suicide and take their own life in any way they could, and so we had to put him into a hospital to protect him. And while he was there, he got involved in the occult, got completely immersed. This facility actually encouraged it, crazy enough, but he got deeply immersed into the occult. And he was also addicted to drugs at the time as well. I prayed for this person. I wanted to see God move in his life and deliver him because I knew God could. And so I prayed, fasted, quoted the scriptures that God gave me. And over time, this person kept asking me questions and then finally asked me to bring him a Bible there at the hospital, which was confiscated by the staff, but that's a whole nother story. That was crazy. But they let him out one weekend, and I take him to a youth conference. At this youth conference, this young man gets saved, healed, delivered from drugs, delivered from the bondage of the occult, filled with the Holy Spirit, and set on a path that God had ordained for him for the next 18 years of his life. It was a true miracle, my eyes witnessed, a true transformation that only God could do. It was real, it was powerful, and it was beautiful. Over the years, he had his ups and downs. And then a few years ago, he had a falling out with church leadership, and he walked away from the church. But there's something in us, you know, that we were created to worship. And if we're not worshiping something, we all worship something. It's just what we worship. And so when he walked away from the Lord and from the church, he went into another form of spirituality that didn't seem as dark as what he experienced before. But what he doesn't realize, it's just wearing a different mask. It's the same thing at the base of it. So Robbie Zacharias tells it like this: you cannot grasp the finger of an experience and think that you've grabbed the hand of reality. You can't let an experience tell you that's real. You have to go to the core of your belief, or what that belief is, at the center of that experience. Every one of us needs to do this because our eternity relies upon this. You need to understand this. When I was preparing this message, I got a vision of a gate being open, and I heard the Lord say, chains are being broken, the shackles are falling off. And then the Lord gave me this verse last night. He said, in Psalm 107, verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. And I declare today, there is power to save, deliver, and heal in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Nothing is stronger, nothing is more powerful than the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus to set someone free. So if you're here or you're watching online, I claim that for you, and I want you to seek the Lord in this, because he will meet you right where you are. It's not too late. As long as you have breath in your lungs, it's never too late. In Deuteronomy, Moses tells the Israelites that they are not allowed to touch these form of occult worship that all these other nations are doing. He says, you must be blameless before the Lord your God. Though these nations you are about to drive out, listen to fortune tellers and diviners. The Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. And pay attention to that next verse. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. In Acts chapter 3, Peter tells us who that prophet is. This is fulfilled in Jesus. He is the one we are to listen to. He is the one of whom Scripture says the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So what is the difference between the occult and God's prophetic revelation? Well, first of all, the meaning of the root, the Latin root for occult means to hide. They're gleaning their information from a dark, hidden source. And revelation, on the other hand, that Latin root means to lay bare. When you go do it God's way, he reveals through the light of his presence and his word, actually, what is truth. They're both looking for the same result, knowledge and power, but one is real and one is false. And a key difference between this, and this is maybe why God calls it abomination, is that the occult distorts the image of God in humanity, but because it tries to get things from other sources that only belong to God. And it's not like God wants us to stay out of the occult because he's afraid of us attaining knowledge or power. You know, he desires us to get it from the source, which only is done in the context of relationship with him. That is the power, that is the knowledge we were created for through him in a relationship. And this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent offered Adam and Eve something most desirable: to become like God, to possess knowledge that God had, but in the process, usurping what rightly belongs to him. Satan offered a shortcut, and that shortcut proved to be deadly. The shortcut was to obtain through material means, just eat this apple, and you will have spiritual moral knowledge. And with the occult, it's very similar. Same thing. Just use this crystal, and you will have a desired result. Say this incantation. Perform this ritual, you'll get a desired result. But doing this usurps the authority, omnipotence, and omniscience of God, trying to get the same result, but bypassing relationship. This is key. And we have to watch out and be on guard as Christians, because we can slip into this without even knowing it. If we try to avoid a relationship with God and just try to use his word in a way without having, or use prophetic words or prophecy in a way that is not engaging him in relationship, but is just trying to get a means, we're missing the point. It's all about relationship. He will lead us to what we need, but how we get there is so important. This is everything, relationship. Some people will say, you know, it's just for fun. You know, I checked the horoscope, you know, whatever. Actually, I was at a boutique, a little shop in Allentown, looking at some clothes. And the owner came up to me and invited me to an in-store event where she was going to have a psychic medium interact with shoppers. I didn't even know that was a thing. So and I'm sure for these ladies on that night, they probably assumed it was innocent and fun, just a way to hang out. But whether it's for fun or a desire for more knowledge or power, involvement in any form of the occult opens a door for the demonic realm in a person's life. God is absolutely clear on this all the way through Scripture. It is strictly forbidden for those in covenant with Him. And another difference between the occult and Revelation is that the occult will bring bondage, leading to death. But the revelation of God, freedom through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and everlasting life through Him. So if we have a relationship with Christ, we can be assured of this. When it comes to our future, our confidence is found in knowing the one who holds it. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. The powers of this world and the authorities that are here, they're coming to nothing. But we, as believers, we're going from glory to glory, from strength to strength. What you possess is in Christ is so much more powerful because you are connected to the one who has all power and all knowledge. So let's turn back to our story and look at how Daniel proves to be an excellent role model in answering our second question. How do we handle prophetic revelation in a godless culture? So the magicians, the astrologers, these guys were probably shaking in their boots. You know, at this point, they were not getting anywhere with the king. They couldn't convince him to change his mind. After the third time, the king says, three strikes, you're out, you're all gone. He sends them out with the executioner, and the executioner went out to gather Daniel and his friends. So this is the point where Daniel enters the story. Arioch is the name of the official who is ordered to carry out this really terrible decree. And he goes to gather Daniel and his friends. And here's what happens. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Other versions say with discretion and discernment. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? I mean, come on, it's a dream. Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. And the way Daniel handled this situation shows us that God-given wisdom and discernment empowers us to respond in a way that the circumstance requires. And this is so important in our culture, even in this hour. Yeah. Have you noticed how tense the climate is in America right now? We're at a boiling point on so many different issues. We need to depend on the Lord, on His wisdom and His discernment in knowing how to speak, and to speak it in a way that doesn't add more fuel to the fire. And this is what Daniel does. And I believe God is raising up Daniels and Esthers, even from this church body, who will be able to do this, as Colossians says, to act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of your time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. In the Old Testament, they had the incense that was used in the temple. And this incense was carefully made by a perfumer who knew exactly how to make it. And they used salt in it. And this produced a fragrance that was pleasing to the Lord. And it was holy and pure. When our words are filled with the wisdom of God, using the discernment that He gives, and they impart grace to those who hear, our words become like an incense, fragrant, holy, sweet-smelling unto the Lord. Remember, we are a holy people separated unto him to do good works. Now, wisdom and discernment, they are also very much needed in knowing what not to say when it comes to the revelation of God. Not everything God shows us is meant for us to tell. Do you know what I mean by that? Over the years, and maybe this just applies to me, I found that about 90% of what he shows me is so that I engage him in prayer, search his heart, and intercede for the person or the circumstance. And the rest of the time, when he releases me to tell somebody the word that he showed or the dream that he gave, it's done so with the understanding that he gives. And the prophetic dreams, how many people dream in here? All your hands should be up because you all dream. It's just, do you remember them? Prophetic dreams become a tool of intercession that is so powerful. There will be nights when the Lord will give me a dream, wake me up, tell me what to pray. I go back to sleep. He gives me another dream, tell me what to pray. I go back to sleep all night long. This is a process. It's a prophetic tool, an intercessory tool that he's using to accomplish his purposes in these specific circumstances. And high schoolers, middle schoolers, raise your hand. Where are you? You guys are a very important part of hearing from the Lord. He desires to use each one of you. He will give you dreams. He will give you visions. He will give you words. And sometimes if you don't understand those, you take them to an adult who knows and has a relationship with the Lord, or you take it to your parent and ask for some wisdom in it. There were several months ago, Barry and I were going through, he was in search of a job, and we were given a word of caution about a job that he had applied for out of state. And this person had been praying for us, and God had given him a vision, warning us, you know, be careful, I don't think God is on this. Later that night, Angelisa, my 16-year-old, has a dream. She had no idea about the conversation that we had, but her dream was spot on with the word that we received. Her dream confirmed the word that from the other person. So God uses anybody, no matter your age. Don't think you're limited because you're young. Ooh, you can be powerful, I'm telling you. Just a reminder, though, not all dreams are prophetic. It just might be that really strange chimichanga you had right before bedtime. Or for me, it was an asthma attack. I thought I was dreaming about an engine, really loud engine, until I woke up gasping and realized that I was wheezing and that my brain was thinking it was an engine. So Barry wasn't too happy about that. He thought I was going to die. So anyways, verse 16, Daniel went into the king and asked for more time so that he might interpret the dream for him. There are a couple of things hidden in this verse I just want to focus on. First of all, this Daniel was pretty young at this age. I believe he was a teenager still. Yeah, he was a teenager. What courage this took to approach a crazy king who has already condemned you to death to request for time. And secondly, what confidence and faith. My goodness, he went in there knowing that God was going to give him the dream. In chapter 1, we already know that Daniel had the gift of being able to interpret and understand all types of dreams. And he was absolutely confident that God would come through. Relationship with the Lord is key to receiving and stewarding the prophetic. And I did already cover this a bit in the first part of my sermon. Daniel displays incredible faith in God. He puts himself in a position that if God doesn't come through, not only is he going to look like a fool, he's going to lose his life, and all these other men are too. But Daniel doesn't try to undermine the authority, the omniscience, the omnipotence of God. He completely submits himself to the Lord, knowing that nothing is impossible for him. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source. Intimacy with God is my life source. That's a quote by Bill Johnson. Daniel returned home with his friends to have his friends join him in a student-led prayer meeting, as John Lennox says, and they sought the Lord for mercy. Oh, God, reveal this. You are the revealer of mysteries. You alone know what is hidden in this king's heart. You know every thought. I'm sure they called on the words of Jeremiah, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And in the middle of the night, God responds. He gives Daniel a vision of what the king dreamed. So Daniel saw what the king dreamed and had the interpretation. But before he does anything, he praises God. Man, that's important. Prayer, praise, time in the Word, this is all relationship. Before moving out, stop to pray. In the middle of it, praise Him, and afterward, praise Him, because it does something to the atmosphere and our attitudes, helping us to keep our eyes fixed on God, on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then, after he praises the Lord, he does something. Rather than going straight to the king, he goes to the executioner, and he says, stop. Do not take the lives of these men. I have the interpretation. Wow. Daniel was thinking of others and not just himself in this. Do you realize that? He doesn't use revelation for his own protection, but for the good of all, even his enemies. Some of these men would try to destroy him later on in the book of Daniel. As we represent God to the culture, we should also be looking for the good of all, not just to save our own skin or to gain political power. So the executioner takes Daniel into the king, and the executioner's like, guess what? I found someone. I think this contrasts incredibly against Daniel's humility and this guy's wanting to get brownie points for finding the guy that was able to interpret it. But the king looks at Daniel, and he says, okay, impress me. Tell me. Now, do you know the dream, and do you know the interpretation? He was, I'm sure, skeptical because his best guys didn't get it. So how's this young teenager going to be able to do it? But I love Daniel's response. No wise man, no magician or diviner can explain the king the mystery he has asked about. And if he stopped there, he'd be dead. But he doesn't. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Here Daniel distinguishes the one true God from all the other Babylonian gods, and there were many. God has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. So in seeking to keep the executioner from killing everyone, and then by giving all the glory to God that was due God, we see in Daniel what humility truly looks like lived out. C.S. Lewis, this is a popular quote, humility is not thinking less of ourselves; it's just thinking of ourselves less. It's knowing who you are as a beloved son or daughter of the Most High God, but more importantly, knowing He is God and you are not. Humility is the soil where God can release wisdom and revelation, and where that will flourish in you in a way that won't destroy you. Because when with revelation comes a weightiness of responsibility, that if you're not prepared to carry it, it could very well crush you. Humility is how we carry the revelation of God in a way that doesn't crush us or distort the gospel of Christ. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Man, our nation needs prayer. It needs the word of the Lord in this hour. And this leads us to our last question. What is the meaning of revelation in a godless culture? Why would he bother to speak into that culture if they don't even want him around. Well, Daniel, he tells the king that the revealer of mysteries has showed King Nebuchadnezzar what would take place in the future, which is amazing to me, that God would choose a pagan king who was doing some very horrible things to reveal a really amazing prophecy that Pastor Jack will cover next week. It talks about the kingdoms of this world and ultimately the kingdom of God being established. Verse 30, as for me, this is Daniel speaking, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, although he probably did because God gave it to him, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind, so you may know and understand. In verse 47, the king said to Daniel, surely your God, Daniel, not my gods, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Daniel was able to present this revelation in a way that didn't cause the king to stumble over the person delivering it. Do you know what I mean? The king was able to see who it was that gives wisdom, who it was who puts kings in power and demotes them. The king was able to see and receive understanding. All of this started with a dream. God sovereignly used this dream in the middle of the night, first of all, to reveal his purposes for the future. And even in this hour, even though it looks like chaos is breaking out, God is still accomplishing his purpose in this nation through his people. You are a very key component to what God is doing. Secondly, God used this to position Daniel and his friends in areas of greater influence for the sake of his kingdom. And you know what? God is going to position you as you listen to him, acknowledge him in all your ways. He is going to direct your steps to get you in the position that you need to be, to influence the people that need to hear what you carry. And then thirdly, and most importantly, I believe, God reveals himself to a people who did not know him. What great love this displays. God's great love for humanity is the driving force behind prophetic revelation. The unstoppable, all-consuming, unwavering love of God. This is why he sent his Son, the living Word, into the world to die. This is why he gave the most very precious gift he could give to us, his own Son. He will go to great lengths to search out those who will hear and listen and respond to him. It's his heart's desire, even though many will refuse it, that all come to the knowledge of who God is. He leaves the 99 to search for the one. This is the God we serve. He loves these people who make you angry. He loves the people in Washington that you're just pulling your hair out and like, get a grip, people. He loves them. They need him. Colossians 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In the middle of the night of this nation, God is bringing his light through the knowledge of Jesus. And he's doing so through you and me as we yield ourselves to carry his word and the revelation he gives in a way that honors him. He wants to know, are you willing? Are you willing to do this for him? Are you willing to lay down everything to be used by him, to not receive personal glory, There's something much greater at stake here. God is calling people in this room, online. Are you willing? The world needs to know that he is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of mysteries. Amen. If everybody could bow their head. Is there anybody here today that you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you want him to be your friend and your savior? Could you raise your hand right now? Everybody's eyes are closed, and I just want to know if there's anybody here that's praying, that would like to pray that prayer. All right, thank you. Jesus, actually, everybody's going to pray after me, okay? We're all going to repeat this prayer, and we're going to pray to Jesus. If you want to ask Jesus in your heart, we're going to do it together, all right? Jesus, I thank you for being who you are. You are my Lord and Savior. Will you forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong? And come into my heart and live with me forever. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of me so that it will help me to obey you and follow you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.